All right, what are we talking about? Who said Jesus? Good job. Good job. Me. Definitely me. What else are we talking about? Where I belong. Where do you belong? That's true. Okay, what's that's the first answer. That's good. What's the second answer? We belong on earth. It's kind of a given since we're here. With people, yes, with each other, with one another, more specifically with the body, right? With believers. We belong together, me and Noah together forever, right? Look at that heart. That's the love right there. Right? We belong together. We talked about that last week. Right? We talked about what that looks like for us to be with one another. We talked about the whole idea of one anothering, right? Remember that? All the different scriptures that talk about one another. You're planning on tackling me again, aren't you, Brad? You just see it in your eyes. So evil. Right? One another. We're called to be with one another. And the title of my message last week was what? Bear with me. Yes. That's so good. You have such a good memory. Is it on your notes? Hey, good job. Bear with me, right? We are going to upset each other every once in a while, right? We're human. Anybody in here perfect? That's awesome. Wow. She's perfect. There's a couple people in here. Liars, we're all imperfect, right? We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says, right? We all mess up. So we have to learn to bear with one another. But we are called to one another. We're called to stick together. We're called to stay even when it's difficult, right? We're not called to just up and leave and run away from each other, especially when we need each other, right? Especially when we're in sin or someone else is, right? We still need each other. We need one another. We belong together with one another. So I'm going to expand on that tonight, what that looks like to belong to one another. Are you guys ready? Okay, get out your Bible and turn to Mark. We belong with one another. The title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes, is Let It Go. My favorite song. I have a daughter who's 3 and loves that song. And so I love that song. I have it on my phone. I play it all the time because she makes me. Let It Go. It's such a good song. That's a different song. See, I know these facts. Let It Go. Mark chapter 11. We'll break out in song later. I'm going to have Maggie lead. Mark, don't make me sing. Mark 11, 22. You're already there. Good job. Noah's fast. Mark 11, 22. We're going to start reading. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain. This mountain's over there. It's cloudy, so you can't really see it. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Wow. Has anybody tried that before? I have. Well, it's biblical. All right, mountain. Go. Didn't work. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But, scared a couple people. I love it. But, one of the nice big buts in the Bible. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive you as well. Whew, that's a big but. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you that you are calling us to be with one another. God, you're teaching us to bear with each other, to love one another, to encourage one another. God, I pray that you would teach us even more what it looks like, God, to forgive each other, to let go of the sins that people have against us, that we've caused towards others. God, we would turn and we would remember and we would learn God, how to forgive. God, teach us tonight your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? He is away from everybody else. It's just him and the disciples. And now when Jesus gets opportunities to teach, he makes sure he has the most of his opportunities because he's not going to be around for a whole lot longer. Jesus is God. He knows everything. So he knows that he's going to die pretty soon, and he's trying to teach them, or is going to teach them, as much as he can in these last moments. And so they're alone, and he starts teaching them. Now, what just happened, if we look back just a little bit, Jesus, they were walking by, and Jesus had cursed this fig tree, and it withered away, but they didn't notice it until later. And so then they go to the temple, and Jesus gets mad because people are selling in the temple and making a profit in there. So he flips the tables, he gets angry, right? But Jesus didn't sin in his anger, but he did get upset. And then he leaves, they go back, and then they find this tree that was withered, right? And then the disciples are like, oh my gosh, Jesus, look, the tree, it's withered. He's like, I know, I did that. And they're really shocked and they're surprised. Wow, this actually happened. Even though they've been following Jesus for years and he'd been doing all of these miracles and they had witnessed it and they had experienced it. And so Jesus takes this opportunity to teach them about faith, saying, look, if you believe, you could speak to this tree like I spoke to it, and it will wither and it will curse and it will die. Right? And if you have the faith that God will do something through you, he will do that if you believe in your heart. Right, so he's teaching them about faith. He's teaching them about what it looks like to walk in faith. And he's preparing them for the future because he's not going to be with them forever. And he's not going to be able to do all the miracles for them. They're going to have to go out and start doing these miracles. And they're going to have the faith that God can do them through him, them. Do the miracles through them. That makes sense, right? Do them through them. Do the miracles through them when they believe. Right? And so he's teaching them and he's showing them, look, you just have to have faith. If you have enough faith, just a little bit of faith, you could tell this mountain to leave and it'll leave. But what he's talking about specifically is if you have the faith to do miracles, to lay hands on people, to heal them, to raise the sick from the dead, or the dead from the dead, raise the dead. Yeah, raise the sick from the dead. That makes sense. You bury the sick, right, before they're dead. And then you raise them up. It's important. But he was teaching them and preparing them to have faith for these miracles that they would do. He tells them, you will do greater miracles than I have. So he's preparing them. He's teaching them. This is what you have to do. This is how you have faith, that you believe and God will do these things through you. However, he throws this giant big but right in there. But first, if you have any grudge, anything that you're holding against somebody, any bit of bitterness, any anxiety, any frustration, any anger that you have towards a brother or a sister, first go to them, forgive them, and then come back. See, what Jesus is saying, it's more important for you to be right with one another, to be right relationally, to not carry the burden or the bitterness of someone's sin against you. It's more important for you to be in right standing with him than it is important for you to do something in God's name. Right? He's saying it's more important for you to get this right, to be in right standing with your brothers and your sisters, than it is for me to do something great through you. So first, forgive. Let go. Let go of the pain. Let go of the frustration. Let go of the anxiety that people have caused you before you try and do something for me. See, I think we get this mixed up a lot. We think as Christians, we're supposed to do these specific tasks. And so we try really hard to be a good Christian and to read our Bible and to do good things and to spread the word. But he tells us first, get right with your relationships. Make right with the people that you're holding that bitterness against, that anger towards, that frustration towards. You ever been mad or upset at somebody before? Wow, there's a lot of you who have never been upset before. That's amazing. Lying in church again. Right? We all have these times when we're bitter, we're upset, we're angry. Even when we're saved, it doesn't mean we're perfect. I think we get more bitter and more easily upset as Christians. It's not a fact, that's just my opinion. But we're easily frustrated with people. We have higher expectations, especially within other believers. And so when we let each other down, we get upset, we get frustrated, we hold on to this bitterness, and we carry it around with us. And Jesus is telling them, look, before you try and do something great in my name, get right with your brothers or your sisters and forgive them. See, they're about to go out without Jesus, and he knows, obviously he's God, he knows everything. He knows that every one of them, besides John and Judas, because he hung himself, were going to be martyrs, meaning they were going to die for the name of Jesus. He knew all of them would die that way. He knew all of them would be persecuted. He knew all of them would get laughed at, would get made fun of. And he says, first, before you do anything great, before you do any of these miracles, before you go lay hands and heal somebody, I want you to forgive them. I want you to let it go. I want you to let go of that burden, that bitterness that you want to hold on to, that you're carrying on your own. I want you to let it go and to learn to forgive them. That's a pretty big deal, right? He's basically saying, I don't care what you do for me. How awesome of a preacher you are. How awesome of an evangelist you are. If you can't learn to love people, you're missing the point. It's more important to me that you go and you love people and you forgive and you let go of that pain that they've caused you than it is important for you to do something great through my name. We're all called to walk in forgiveness, to learn what it looks like to forgive, to learn what it looks like to let go of those things. Let's look at the word forgiveness. Forgive is the Greek word aphiemi. It's Greek. That sounds Greek. To send away or to let go from oneself. To let go from one's power or possession. To let go from obligation towards oneself, a debt or an offense. To stop, to quit, to cease, to release, to dismiss, to leave behind. Forgive means to let go. When somebody offends you, it's easy for us to hold on to that and start to get upset at them. Maybe we harbor bitterness. Every time we see that person, it just pisses you off looking at them. Sorry, I was looking at you already, Maggie. I didn't mean that. Right? Every time you walk in that room, you're just frustrated because you know that person's going to be there because they did something to you. They embarrassed you in front of everybody. Right? They looked at you funny. They told you you smell funny in front of everyone. They told on you when you farted in class. It's happened. Right? They farted in class and blamed you. I used to do that. Oh, man. That is gross. What's wrong with you, Brad? Right? Somebody wrongs you in some way. Well, it's easy to hold bitterness towards them, anger towards them, resentment. That you're frustrated when you see that person again. And you start seeing their flaws even more, or you start finding flaws in them. Because it's hard for you to be around them, so you want to make fun of them back. Because they've put you down, they've hurt you, they've embarrassed you. Right? And it's easy for us to carry that around and feel like we're doing something back at them by carrying this pain and carrying this burden, carrying this bitterness, this anger, this resentment towards them. Feel like that's how we're getting them back. I'll glare at them. I won't look at them anymore. That'll show them. They have no idea you've done anything, but they're like, you're like looking at them all weird. Brad does this to me a lot. Stares at me, threatens to tackle me. Right? We just hold on to things and we think, oh, I'm showing them by holding this pain on me, by holding this bitterness, by hanging on to it. And that word forgiveness means to let go, to release them. Really what it's doing is it's releasing you. See, your bitterness doesn't harm them. It harms you. Your anger doesn't harm them. Your little glares, they probably just think you farted or something. They don't know what you're doing. But forgiveness means to let go. Bitterness is holding on to those pains. Anybody been hiking before in their lives? Josie's never been hiking? That's weird. So I went hiking with Brad Nelson and some other people this last weekend. I've been hiking twice this year. It's a pretty big deal for me. When I say hiking, I mean actually like backpacking. Official term? Yeah, backpacking. You actually have like a big backpack on. You stay the night out. You're camping. It's like real Alaskan status, you know? Like I actually feel like an Alaskan for the first time in 29 years. I feel Alaskan. Out in the wilderness. I've still never driven a snow machine. See, I'm not a true Alaskan, but I'm trying to be. So I'm learning how to backpack, and my wife and I are both interested in doing this. It's been a lot of fun. We bought all this new equipment for 2 times that we've gone so far. Hopefully we go more and make it worth it. But we're pretending to be Alaskans, and we're all going out there. So it was like 9 of us this last week. We all went to Lost Lake. It's up in Seward, almost to Seward. And it's like 50 miles. Okay, it's like 14. But it felt like 50 miles. And it took us 2 days to do it, so we're only going 7 hours or seven miles at a time. Doesn't take us quite 7 hours, but just about that. To hike this whole trip. And so you put a lot of weight in your backpack because you got to carry your tent. And well, I had to carry our tent. My wife's backpack was not that heavy. Don't tell her I said that. But I have the tent, right? I have my sleeping bag. We have your pillow. You have everything that you need, your food, your stuff to cook it all with. A little stick if you want a stick to help you climb through the wilderness. Whatever you need, bear spray, gun. You got to be prepared for those bears out there. Everything else that you need to pack up in your bag to survive for the next couple days. It might rain, so you need all your rain gear and stuff. It was actually really nice. It wasn't like this. Praise Jesus. But so we're out there and we're backpacking, right? And again, 9 of us are going and only one of us is really experienced. And that's Brad. Give it to Brad. Brad Nelson. That means clap. Yeah. Hey, Brad. So the rest of us are pretty unprepared. We all have new stuff, new shoes, new backpack, all things that start to bug you, start to bother you, right? And so you put it on, you put on your backpack, you put on your shoes. Feels good at first. You start hiking a little bit, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is awful. I've got so much weight on my back, and you feel like you're not making it anywhere. And you're stopping every couple minutes and already starting to get these blisters on your feet because you have brand-new shoes and you haven't broken them in. So you thought, oh, it'd be cool to get new shoes. But then your blisters are like massive. And so you're all over your feet. And so you start taping them up and start trying to compensate and make it a little bit easier, right? And you're adjusting your backpack like crazy. And you're continually going. And it starts to get a little bit lighter for a while. You start to feel like, oh, this isn't too bad. Probably because your whole body's like numb by then. So it's not as big of a deal. But then at the end of the day, you get to take it all off, and you're like, oh, man, that feels so much better. And then the next day, it's even worse because you're sore from the first day. You've already got these blisters, and then you still are only halfway done. So you got a whole nother big trip ahead of you, and so you pile all that stuff back on. It feels even heavier than the day before. You're like, how did I get more weight? How did this happen? I think my wife put rocks in my bag or something, probably bread, to make it a little bit heavier. But so we're walking, and then almost everybody, except for Brad, gets blisters all over their feet, like they're covered in them. And so you get a blister on the balls of your feet, so you start walking on the heels of your feet, right? You want to compensate, so you start walking like this instead of normally, or you start kind of limping like an old man carrying it, and then you're trying to adjust your pack and lift up on your shoulders a little bit because your shoulders are so sore and your neck's sore, and then everything just hurts, right? And so as you're compensating, you start hurting in other areas. Your legs start hurting. Some people's Achilles started hurting. Yeah, they better not tear it. It'll be painful. I kept telling them that. So you're full of pain, but you keep pushing. And then we finally think we're pretty close to the end. And so a bunch of us start running. Like, oh, maybe running will make it feel better. It actually did. you start running and the weight's like bouncing. And so it's kind of like light and you're like, wow, this actually feels good. And so we're running at the end and finally we reached the end, and you would have thought that we were out there for like 15 days, but it was two, barely. And at the end, we all just fall down on the ground, take off our backpacks, take off the shoes. You're like, oh man, this is so nice. I'm saying we a lot. It wasn't really me. I was totally fine the whole time. It was mostly the rest of them. Thanks, Isha. What do you call it out? Okay, I have a couple blisters, but everybody else had worse blisters. And so the whole time they're just, you know, they're complaining, they're hurting. And in the very end, they get to take it all off. And it's like this huge release. And you're like, oh man, that's so much lighter. I could do it again. That was easy. And see, that's what it's like in our life when we start carrying hurts and pains. We start carrying this bag. This bag that's full of all this weight, and we start hurting, right? We're carrying it around thinking that we're getting them back for hurting us. They embarrassed us. Well, we're going to hold on to anger. That'll show them. And we put it in our backpack, right? And then we hold on to some bitterness and anxiety. Anxiety every time we see them, we start to get frustrated or nervous or ready to punch them in the face. And so we've got more of these weights on our shoulders, and we keep carrying them, and we keep holding on to them. And we think that it's actually going to do something to them, when really the whole time it's only harming us. It's harming our bodies. It's making us weaker. It's making us more frustrated. It's actually starting to change the way we are relationally with other people. Right? Because when you get hurt by somebody, usually you start to put up walls so that people don't do that to you again. So you start compensating. Just like when we were walking, we'd compensate. We'd walk on a different part of our feet, and then we start getting blisters on that part of our feet. That's what we start to do. We start to compensate. We start to cover it up so it feels like we're not getting hurt as much. So we're shorter with people. I did this all through high school, probably junior high and high school. I got picked on. Everybody gets picked on, right? You get made fun of enough times, you get frustrated. And so you start putting up these walls so people don't upset you anymore. So I used to start making fun of people before they could make fun of me. That was the way I coped, the way I made it easier on me. And so I would just put somebody down before they made fun of me, or they make fun of me, I'd put them down even more. And so I was constantly carrying around all these hurts and these pains and offending people along the road and hurting all my relationships, thinking that I was actually making myself better by not allowing them to hurt me. And I don't think I'm the only one who's done this. We all have this tendency to start to put up walls and barriers in us so that other people won't harm us. And so we start wrecking all these other relationships with people because we're thinking we're making ourselves better. We're healing. We don't have to deal with the pain that somebody caused us. We're just going to put up these walls and not feel them. But really what we're doing is we're just carrying on this huge burden and this huge weight that's hurting us and that's pulling us down. The Bible says that bitterness rots your bones, or it's like a cancer to the body. Bitterness, envy, jealousy, it literally can rot our bodies. You know, a lot of like diseases and sicknesses are either caused from stress or enhanced by stress and bitterness in our lives. Did you know that? It's a true statement. I'm not just making it up. My dad has diabetes, and diabetes isn't caused by stress, but it can emphasize it. It can make it stronger. Your body can be producing less and even less insulin because you're full of stress and anxiety in your life. So your bitterness and the things that you're holding against other people is actually causing your own body harm. Literally. When Mariah and I, my wife, broke up, I know it was a big deal. We were back in high school. Not your guys' ages. We had broken up, and we broke up for an entire year. It was a big deal. We had been dating for like 3 years before that. And so every time I would think about her, every time I'd remember something, I'd see her, I'd think about the wounds and the pains, I started to get sick. My body literally would get sick. I had what they call an ulcer, right? And my body would just start throwing up. Start throwing up a little bit of blood in there too. It's a good thing that your body does when you have a lot of stress in your life. It causes ulcers, or it can cause ulcers in your body. And so I would throw up just thinking, it sounds mean, throw up thinking about her. But I throw up because of the memory, because the pain was so much, it caused this bitterness in my heart, this anger, this jealousy. Every time I saw her with her friends happy, you'd think I'd be happy for her, but I wasn't. I'd be upset, I'd be frustrated. See, that's what we do in relationships when we don't learn to forgive people. We carry that pain and we carry that anger and that frustration around with us, thinking that it's going to do something to them, thinking we're going to better ourselves, we're going to make ourselves stronger by doing this, when really we're just carrying around this huge weight that's causing all these pains and aches and blisters on our body. And Jesus knew this ahead of time. He knew that it was so important for us to learn to forgive each other. It was more important for us to forgive each other than it was for us to do something great in his name. So he calls him out and he says, look, yeah, it takes these things to have this faith. But what's more important is for your faith to believe that you can forgive your friends. I want you to first go to your brothers and your sisters and forgive them, to let them go of that pain, to take that backpack off and release it. Release the anger, release that frustration, release that guilt and that shame that they've caused you. We've all been hurt from people, but we all can live a life full of peace and joy through our hurts if we learn to forgive people, if we learn to let go of those pains, if we learn to not carry around every pain and every time somebody harms you or upsets you or frustrates you, but that you learn to let go of them and forgive them, to set them free. And really, we say we're setting that person free, but really what you're doing is you're setting yourself free. Because you're the one feeling the pain constantly of it. They may never know that they hurt you, but you know that they hurt you. And you're the one carrying it around and feeling the weight of it and feeling the pain and feeling the frustration and feeling the anger every time you see them. And it's harming you. Jesus knew this. And he's telling them, forgiveness, really, it's for you. When we forgive somebody, it's not for them. They may not know that you forgave them. They don't need to know. It's for you to be able to let go of that bitterness you're holding on to, that frustration you have towards them. It's to make you whole. And it's not affecting them, it's affecting you, and it's affecting the other relationships that you have because you start to be hardened towards others. Proverbs 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy or bitterness or envy or stored up wrath is like cancer to the bones. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. We have to learn that we're all humans. We make mistakes. We hurt each other. But we have to have this willing heart to be able to forgive, to see that we all fall short, to see that we all have struggles. There's a little fuzz floating around. We all have struggles and we all end up hurting each other and not knowing it. But we're called to let go of those pains. We're called to forgive. We're called to actually, and it doesn't mean that you go up to somebody and you say, Brad, I keep calling you out, Brad, you upset me, but I forgive you. That's not, maybe it's some forgiveness, but it's not about you just going and telling them so that they know that they hurt you. It's about you letting them go, even if they didn't know that they hurt you. See, Jesus forgave you of your sins before you could ever even know that you were sinful. Before you ever even sinned, he forgave them. Before you ever acknowledged your sin and repented of them, he forgave you. He took your sin on the cross before, not even with us knowing that we'd sin. He took our sin from us. So we're called in the same way to forgive others, even if they don't know, even if they don't repent, even if they don't come forward and say, man, I blew it. I'm sorry. It's about releasing them of the pain that they're causing you in your heart. So how do we forgive people? What does that look like? How do we actually forgive them? Let's go to Colossians 3. You can turn there if you want. Colossians 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love this part right here. If you have a Bible, if you're looking through it, if you like highlighting, underline this, highlight this, do something, circle it. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Make allowance. Make a way. Know that we're gonna sin against each other. Know that we're gonna wrong each other. But don't just up and run away. Don't just harbor bitterness and pain if somebody offended you and they didn't even know it. Learn to forgive them. Let go of it. And the way that we do that is we remember what Jesus has done for us, that he forgave us. It says first, remember that Jesus forgave you of your sins. So you must forgive others of their sins. When we fix our mind on what Jesus has done, when you think about yourself and all the sin that you have in your life, right? There were three perfect people in this room. But other than them, all the sin that's in your life and that Jesus died on the cross for you before you could ever repent of them. When you fix your eyes on what you have done, man, when I do that, it makes me want to forgive others. It opens my heart to know, man, people aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. How can I point out the little speck in someone else's eye when there's a log in my own? Right? Jesus is teaching them, first, forgive people. Before they even offended him, he says, you guys are going to go out here and you're going to be doing miracles without me. But you're also going to get persecuted and you're also going to go through difficulties. And I'm telling you now, right away, forgive. Before it even happens, forgive. Let them go and continue to find joy in the things that I've called you to do. See, that's why in the book of Acts, when they would go out and they'd get beaten, they came back with joy. That seems ridiculous. Why would you go get beat up and come back and be happy about it? But see, what they knew they were doing is they had faith to preach the word of God anyways and to go through it and endure it. And they were able to forgive them for it. And when Jesus laid on the cross, some of the last words he said is, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. He forgives the people that are sinning against him, that are putting him up on the cross, his own people. And he's forgiving them. And he's letting go of that sin that they caused him, that pain that they caused him. He lets it go and he says, Father, forgive them. That's what God calls us to do. Remember the cross of Jesus and what he did for you. And then it says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. You can live in peace even when people wrong you, but it comes through your forgiveness. It comes through you forgiving them, for letting them go of that pain. You can walk around in a room with someone who's hurt you and offended you, and you don't have to cold shoulder them. You don't have to mean mug them and glare at them. You can live in peace knowing, yes, they wronged you, but you make allowance for their faults. You clothe yourself in love and you allow God to work that through you. Forgiveness isn't about you just doing it. Okay, I got to forgive. I'll do it. It's about you allowing God to work that through you. See, he was telling the disciples that faith comes through believing in God, that you can do these things. But before you do these things, have faith that God can allow you to forgive the people that have harmed you. See, it still comes through faith and believing that God can do that work through you. It's not your work, it's his, but you have to choose to forgive. God's not going to force you. He's not going to just make you forgive. It's about you choosing ahead of time. I'm going to forgive Caleb when he looks at me like that. See those eyes? Those are awesome eyes. That's a cool little thing you did there. Right? I'm going to choose ahead of time to forgive him, and I'm going to ask God to help me and empower me. See, when we take off those backpacks at the end of our hike, there was this huge release, this literal weight off of our shoulders. But there was still some pain. The pain didn't completely go away. Our shoulders still hurt, our necks still hurt. The Achilles was still tender. Blisters were still there. But this weight was lifted. It did, yeah, Brad was fine. Woohoo, Brad. But everybody else was in pain afterwards. And see, sometimes when we forgive, we let go, but there's still a little bit of pain there. And we have to choose to continue to forgive. So Peter asks Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother for something that they did? Like 7? He's probably thinking that was like a huge number. Like 7, right? He's like, yeah, 7 times 70. 7 times 70 times for the same thing that you continue to forgive that person. So it might come up when I see Noah, I might remember what he did to me when he tripped me while I was preaching. No, he didn't really do that. But I might remember that, but I choose in that moment to forgive. And we have to continue to choose to forgive. It doesn't mean the pain completely goes away, but when we continue to pursue forgiveness in our lives and pursue oneness with God and oneness with each other, it comes through really letting go of that baggage, that pain that you're holding on to. Let go of it and allow God to really work through your heart and to change your mindset, to change your heart towards Him. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. We know that's the love chapter. It says this, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no records of being wronged. It keeps no records. Right? It doesn't hold on to this pain. It doesn't remember every time they see that person, oh, that person looked at me weird. Oh, that person punched me in the face. Oh, that person did this, right? Love, true love, doesn't keep a record of those pains and those hurts. It allows God to really work through their heart and learn how to forgive. Billy, will you come up? There's two different cases of forgiveness, two different ways that we're called really to forgive. And one of them is when somebody comes and they repent to us. Now that's the easiest one. It's when they know that they're wrong and they come up and they say, dude, I blew it. I'm sorry that I embarrassed you in front of everybody by holding your head and rubbing your ears. I'm sorry I messed up. Will you forgive me? Obviously in that we are called to forgive, no matter how hard or how difficult or how big of a deal it was, we're called to forgive. And in that, we actually tell them, I forgive you. There's some power in those words that God has designed that brings healing. When we say, I forgive you, right? If I come up to you and I say, man, I really messed up. No, I didn't mean to embarrass you like that, or I didn't mean to push you down or slap you in front of your girlfriend. Shouldn't have girlfriends. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. And he says, oh, no big deal. No, we're called to actually set them free by saying, look, I forgive you. It's okay. I forgive you. Actually power in those words of, I forgive you. I let go. We tell people, I forgive you. I'm letting go of that. It's not a big deal. No, maybe it was a big deal to you. I forgive you. But the other case, the other part of it is when people don't come and they repent. Or maybe they don't even know that they hurt you or harmed you. Or maybe they do know, but they don't think they were wrong in it. Or they wanted to. And there's something in us that desires for them to come and repent to us. If only they would repent, then I'll be okay. Well, they better admit they were wrong. What if they never do? What if they never come and repent to you? What if they hurt you so bad that it's changed all of your relationships and they're never going to tell you they're sorry? What do you do with that? Jesus forgave. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Even though they were purposely hanging Jesus on the cross, they didn't know the extent of it. They didn't understand it. And he's saying, Lord, forgive them for not understanding, for not knowing. And we are called to do the same thing. When somebody harms us, we forgive them. We let it go. We let go of that pain because really it's harming you. It's not harming them. They may not even know or not care, but it's for you to release it so you don't walk around in anger and bitterness, changing all the relationships around you. Will you stand with me? I believe God wants to break this off in our lives, break off bitterness. Some of you are carrying a giant backpack full of weight, full of anger, full of pain, full of every little thing that people have done for you. Maybe you even have a list of people that have wronged you. Jesus wants you to forgive tonight. He wants you to let go of it. He wants you to sing that song, Let It Go, and let go of the pain. Don't let it hold you back anymore. It's part of the song if you didn't know that. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of that frustration. Forgive in your heart. Maybe it's a big, giant deal and it's really difficult for you to forgive. Ask God to give you the faith to forgive that person. God, give me the ability to forgive. I don't want to feel this pain anymore, but what they did was so wrong. Ask God to forgive through your heart. Ask Him, make me forgive. Help me to forgive. God, I know it's your work. Lord, I'm willing. I choose to forgive. I want you to make that a point to Him tonight. If there's something that you're carrying that you shouldn't be, there's an anger or frustration that you shouldn't be holding on to, and it's causing you pain, and it's causing you agony, and everybody around you can see it because you're short with them, you're sarcastic to them, you're angry all the time. You're carrying this load, and Jesus wants you to let it go and to go first to Him and ask for faith to forgive before you do anything else great in His name. Come to Him and ask, Lord, help me to forgive. If that's you tonight, I encourage you to take a step of faith and just come forward. Yes, I'm carrying something that I shouldn't be, and I want to let it go tonight. Go ahead and come on up. This is me. I want to actually let go of this burden. I don't want this pain in my heart anymore. I know I've changed the way that I am because I'm compensating for this pain. I know I've put up all these walls and I have resentment towards people, but tonight I want to forgive them. Jesus, tonight we're asking, Father, that you will give us the faith that we need to forgive those people that have hurt us. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you were the perfect example of forgiveness, that you laid there on the cross when none of us had repented of our sin, but we had all sinned against you, and you still chose to forgive us. God, help our hearts to be the same as yours, that we choose to forgive those who have wronged us, who will wrong us, who will wrong us again. God, give us the faith to forgive. Empower us tonight that we can forgive those who have hurt us and caused us pain. God, I pray your blessing over these young people that are coming forward tonight that are saying, Lord, there's something in my heart that is not right, that I'm carrying, that's not yours, that is yours to take off of me. That's not mine to carry. God, I pray that you would release them of that pain right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you would release that burden. You take that giant backpack of weight off of them right now, that they would feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. They would feel your comfort and they would feel your love tonight, Jesus. That pain would be gone in Jesus' name. That the anger would be gone in Jesus' name, Lord. We would learn to forgive and choose to forgive in our hearts tonight, God. Thank you for their bold step of faith, God. And for everybody else, Lord, I know we all have our hurts and our wounds. God, teach us to forgive, Lord. We set ourselves before you and ask your forgiveness right now. That you would forgive us for holding on to bitterness. You would forgive us for holding on to resentment. You would forgive us for the anger that we have harbored towards these people. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to forgive them. encourage you right now, just keep your heart at that and start telling the Lord those things or those people that you need to forgive. And start releasing them. Start letting go of that. Billy's just going to keep playing and I encourage you, just set your heart at that. Lord, I choose to forgive this person. Name the specific person. Even name what they did and let it go. Release it from that grip. Say, Lord, teach me to forgive right now as I let these people go. And that God would come in and fill it with peace. In Colossians 3, it says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Release that bitterness and that anger and let peace rule in your hearts. So you don't walk around upset, you walk around full of peace, even though people harmed you or wronged you. Lord, fill us with peace right now. God, we're asking that you would take away that anger and that frustration and you'd fill it with your peace. Fill it with your love, Lord. Clothe us in love tonight, God, that we can choose to love people even when we know we're going to wrong each other. God, we choose to forgive. We choose to let go. God, we choose to live a life full. That life that you've called us to live. That's light. That's easy. That's full of you and full of love, God. Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness. God, thank you that you're filling our hearts right now with that peace. God, I pray, Lord, that we would continue to pursue forgiveness in our lives. God, you would teach us what that looks like every moment, every time that we have unforgiveness, every time that we're carrying something. God, I pray that you'd reveal it to us. And God, that we can let go, that we can learn to let go of these pains. God, I thank you for the hearts of your young people tonight. God, I pray that you would seal that word in their hearts, God, that you would bring them in alignment, God, and that we would pursue oneness with each other relationally. God, that we would all grow knowing, God, that we're going to mess up, but that we would choose to have allowance for one another. We choose to forgive each other, God. God, we thank you that you're strengthening us. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing. God, I thank you for each young person in this room. God, I pray that you would just empower them this week to live in peace and live in joy, even through the hurts and the pains, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us what it looks like to let it go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that I really love you guys. I do. And God has called us to be together, to be with one another, that you belong to each other. You belong to each other relationally. That you hold each other accountable. You call out the best in each other and you learn to forgive. Let go of the little things that you're building up. And learn to forgive them. So that you can be one with them, you can encourage them, you can be in right standing with them. Amen. I encourage you that this week. If you didn't tonight, or you started to tonight, pursue forgiveness. Pursue forgiving people for what they've done to you. And let that pain and that burden go. Be blessed this week. And we'll see you guys next week.